I think they like you, Steve.
Thursday, okay? Just remember Thursday. Thursday. Can you remember Thursday?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Yo, hi, how are you? 6:10, make it 6:09 and a half. All right, now it's 6:10. I'm going to learn to tell time. Show number 1202 at Cochran Show on Twitter, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. Sandberg, what's my MySpace handle? Do you have that handy?
That's also Cochran Show.
Okay. Does MySpace still exist?
I don't know.
Dave, you're on MySpace, aren't you?
Let me see. I'm going to see if I can find my old site.
I forgot what it even was.
It was a precursor to Facebook.
Oh, you still have a CompuServe MySpace account?
Yeah, and Prodigy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure do. Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. My ringtone is the noise it used to make when you used to sign online in the 90s. You know, the Facebook, the fax machine.
Yeah, noise? Sure.
Yeah.
You know, MySpace is still there.
Is it now?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Let's be trendsetters.
We should sign up for a MySpace account.
Like how records are cool.
Yeah, yes, vinyl.
Exactly.
See, that will bring MySpace back.
God, that's so 2003.
In 5 years, we'll be asking, what's Facebook?
You never know. You never know, Vanderbilt. You never know.
Probably.
312-981-7200. No traffic this morning. What's that about?
People are on vacation.
Is that it?
What?
Mayor? August traffic patterns?
It's exactly the same as it always is in this pattern today.
No, there was nothing coming in.
Really?
Yeah, nothing. No cars, just me.
Nope. Maybe because you're a VIP.
They cleared the area.
Cleared the way for you.
That's probably it.
Well, a lot of people are getting back in school soon. I mean, or this week, or college kids are already gone. A lot of them are.
You don't think it's because the other day I said there's too many people in Chicago, some of you have to leave?
Go back to school.
Hey, Steve, I have a text question today.
What is it?
It's National Tell-A-Joke Day, so I want people to text their jokes in. But they have to be clean so we can read them on the air. And I have a joke to start you out with.
Is this a kid joke?
It's when I was in kindergarten.
Okay.
I really killed with this one.
Uh-huh.
So what did the Pink Panther say when he stepped on an ant?
What did the Pink Panther say when he stepped on an ant? Youngest guy on the show is Super Joe. You're 31. You're closest to kindergarten. What did the Pink Panther say when he stepped on an ant, Joe?
Dan ant. Dan ant. Dan ant. Dan ant. Dan ant.
Yes. It's funny every time.
So you say, at 6:12, look, we'll try that if you like. And then when I'm really tired of reading terrible jokes in half an hour, we'll switch it up.
Hey, you guys have a show coming up. Maybe someone will have good material for you.
Oh, they could open for John, who opens for me, who opens for Mike Toomey.
Yeah.
That's next Friday night, by the way, a week from tonight. Dave, you'll be there, won't you? So close. Zany's in St. Charles. Zany's.com for tickets for Toomey and DeCoss and me and a hilarious joke teller from this audience yet to be determined.
I actually want to come.
I know you do. Yeah, right. As opposed to Mary Vandeveld who won't leave her house.
Wait, what day is this? What time?
Next Friday.
Oh, it's a Friday.
Next Friday at 8 o'clock, which is perfect for you. Yeah. Let's do the top 6 at 6 right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
President Trump revoked the clearance of former CIA Director John Brennan yesterday. Brennan served under Barack Obama, also served in the intelligence community under Presidents Clinton and Bush, has served both Republicans and Democrats. He also threatened to do the same to other former national security officials who have offended him on some level. And in what may be the third obvious wheel of obstruction or conspiracy, told the Wall Street Journal last night that anybody that started with Brennan, anybody that's involved in this fake Russian hoax, this witch hunt, they're all going to be subject to the same thing. In other words, if you're involved in the criminal investigation of my administration, I will shut you down. Nixon rolling over going, did someone call me? Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal this morning also has a op-ed written by John Brennan, which says largely what he has said publicly for a long time, but says the idea there's no collusion is hogwash, which is in fact true. Start with a Don Jr. meeting at the Trump Tower and work forward. Or you can go back to the 80s if you want.
There was an interesting comment yesterday. I was watching some of this discussion on television. The president technically can cancel the, he can take away the security clearances of Robert Mueller and his team. With no check or balance whatsoever on
right.
that.
Right. And you know who's supposed to oversee that, Steve? That would be your United States Congress. Mm. What did Mitch McConnell say about this yesterday?
I don't know what he said, but remember
nothing.
Paul Ryan a couple weeks ago said this was just the president trolling people.
Yeah, and so. McConnell said nothing yesterday.
Nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. By the way, Democrats who are weak and confused, looking to try to get the paperwork and the former rulings of Brett Kavanaugh before a vote comes up on his position on the Supreme Court, Mitch McConnell said yesterday that they'll be able to read all of his findings after he is placed on the court.
Yeah, well, that's how it works, right?
Yeah. So Mitch McConnell now is so, he is so sold out, so complicit, that he doesn't even care. He'll just say it out loud. They're not getting what they want. They're never going to get what they want, and I'm going to do what I want.
He does realize that the Republicans will be out of power at some point in the future, right?
As soon as November, if it goes this way. And the Democrats, good God, how long? Hello, Democrats. It's being handed to you. Find someone to lead you out of the cave. Next. A judge has blocked prosecutors from calling Laquan McDonald a victim at Van Dyke's trial, except during closings. We'll take this up with Karen Conti. I'm not quite sure why that would be the case. I mean, the obvious is obviously you don't want to prejudice a jury in that case, but I don't know. It seems pretty broad. We'll take it up with Karen Conti. Next. A record 72,000 overdose deaths. The number of Americans who died from drug overdoses last year surpassed the highest annual death totals from HIV, car crashes, or guns, according to new estimates from the Centers for Disease Control. It's increased nearly 10% from a year earlier. It's an absolute epidemic. What are we doing about it in Springfield and also in Washington? Not enough. Next. Governor Rauner compared J.B. Pritzker to swine at the Illinois State Fair. Well, that should help. Next. Hundreds of newspapers today publishing editorials about the value of America's free press. This is one of the major crimes of Donald J. Trump continuing to spread this BS of fake news. Everybody that perpetrates this, that throws this stuff out. And by the way, I've had conversations with my friends about this. Oh, yeah, most of what people write. There's so much fake news out there. You stop anyone who says that and go, tell me one thing that's fake. Nobody can do it. Nobody. And I'll give you the same example I've given you for 2 years. You would not know about Hillary Clinton's email. You would not know about anything that fires you up about Democrats if it were not for hardworking journalists who do it every day. It's not fake news. It's reporting. And the reason it's called fake news is because the guy that sits in the White House doesn't like when people say things he doesn't like. That's it. And that's what those editorials are about today. And one more. Happy belated 101st birthday to Carbondale resident Ruth Parker. Yesterday was her birthday. She celebrated where? Dave, any idea?
Well, I do know. It's a certain fast food place that I think has some fans on this show.
Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Steve Grzanich, were you with her?
I was not, but I fully endorse this.
You would have gone if she asked.
Boy, those new nacho fries, you could just use those as birthday candles.
I like how they're saying that's new. It's cheese on fries.
Yeah, I don't understand what's new about it.
No, these are fried cheese sticks, I think, is what they are. I haven't had them yet, but they...
Those aren't really new either, are they? I mean, you've been able to buy fried cheese.
Mozzarella sticks, they've been around for a while.
But not for a dollar.
Are they mozzarella sticks you dip in cheese?
I think it's like nacho cheese sticks.
Cheese dipped in cheese?
I think it's nacho cheese fried and dipped in nacho dip.
Well, you know, we can ask Nick about this. I'm sure he's had them.
Sure. I wonder if she got a six-pack of original tacos while she was there.
I wonder what she eats. For 18 years, has she been eating the same?
I wonder why we waited an extra day to wish her a happy birthday. She's 101. You know my track record in this area.
I know.
Must be belated.
I hope she got that $5 taco meal, Taco Bell meal for free, too.
Text her from the 847. It's fries, not cheese.
Oh, they're fries dipped in cheese.
Yeah, that's, they're basically cheese fries.
Cheese fries.
At a golf course we play at, they have a big sign up, now serving cheese fries. Like, cheese fries are making this comeback. I didn't think...
And they usually just give you a thing of cheese.
One of the most amazing things I have ever seen, and I include all seven wonders of the world, is when I took my brother Mickey to a NASCAR race here at the track in Joliet, and they have a thing called the heart attack, which I'm not exaggerating.
I love it already.
It's about an 8-inch high mound of chips and cheese and beef and salsa. And the thing's got to weigh 10 pounds. And people are carrying it.
Come in a tire.
You know what? It should come in the luggage thing that you can rent at the airport to get your bags to the car. It's unbelievable. I could have skipped the race and just watched people order that and walk away.
Okay, but there's a reason they call it that.
Yeah, there is.
Right?
That's exactly
right. Oh, my gosh. 619 says they are taco seasoned fries with cheese to dip. That sounds amazing. And also, 219, they are new to Taco Bell. I guess they're right. Fries. They've never had fries before, so.
So they're taco seasoned fries you dip in cheese.
Yeah. Well, I hope Ruth doesn't start eating them now. She'll never make it to 102.
I wonder if Taco Bell asked her for her birthday so they could hit her next year with more free stuff. You know what I mean? Ruth Parker says they celebrate all of their family's birthdays there, and she's been coming twice a week for 18 years. So you explain to me how it's unhealthy. Maybe the greatest health food in America, Steve Grzanich.
Listen, my grandmother ate bacon until the end of her life, and she lived to be almost 90, so...
Yep, my grandpa did too. Bacon.
Ruth started going to Taco Bell twice a week at age 83, and she's 101 now.
Well, there are healthy choices there.
Mm-hmm.
You can get the salads, lettuce, a little tomato.
Well, tomatoes.
She orders lettuce
with cheese on it.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
He is Nick at Night. Did Julio, he knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
It is 627. Hey, Super Joe, look at the way you spelled Nick's name on the phone. Huh? That's funny. Nick, I'll tell you about it off the air. It was an accident, but it's amusing to me. Hey, your parents always go to a movie with you on the weekend. What'd you see this time?
We saw Spike Lee's Black Klansman, which is absolutely one of the best movies of the year, without question, and his best movie in maybe a decade.
Is it as good as Inside Man?
It's his best movie since Inside Man. I think it's better. I think this is Spike at his... that is most angry, and this is a movie that is as timely, even though it takes place in the 70s and it's based on a true story, it's as timely today as it ever could be, and the ending of the film, the final moments of the movie, are an absolute gut punch, and there's a reason why he released it on the weekend of the Charlottesville, what happened in Charlottesville last year.
It's based on a crazy true story about a black man who infiltrates the Klan.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's an enormously entertaining movie. It's a lot of fun. It's funny. It's profane. It is beautifully well made. And then this ending comes, and you walk out of that theater, and there were people astounded in the screening that I saw. There was, and then someone at the very end of the movie said what I can't repeat it on the air, but he said what Robert De Niro said at the Tonys. And the entire audience applauded. It was a pretty special moment. But it's a great movie, one of the very best of the year. A great movie.
What is Crazy Rich Asians?
It's based on a huge bestseller about an Asian couple, an Asian woman who dates this guy who turns out to be one of the richest people, who comes from a family of absolutely insanely wealthy people, and she didn't know that about him. And it's about her traveling back to China to meet his family.
Did you read the book?
I have not read the book.
It's a good book.
Oh, you know the book?
Yep, I do. It's really good.
The trailer makes it look like a reality show comedy. That's not what it is?
No, I haven't seen it.
No, so, I mean, based on the book, it's not what it is?
No, not that...
Is it a drama, the book? I mean, is the book exciting? What is it?
Entertaining? That's how I would describe the book, but I don't know. I haven't seen the movie myself.
No feeling for this film at all. Mile 22.
No, the latest from director Peter Berg and actor Mark Wahlberg. They've made like five films together now.
Wait, hold on a second. Is this Mark Wahlberg with a gun? I was shocked when I saw the trailer.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg is a CIA agent whose team has to move a suspect that's wanted from the embassy to the airport, and it's a 22-mile drive, and that's what it's about. It's about what's going on.
Is Bruce Willis in it? Because he did this movie 10 years ago.
Yeah, no, Bruce Willis is not in it.
Remember the movie he did 10, 15 years ago where he had to move an inmate like 6, 7, 8 blocks in New York City?
Yeah.
It's the same movie.
It is.
All right, cool. what's Alpha?
Alpha is a movie about takes place in prehistoric times and about a kid who loses his way with his tribe.
Is Bruce Willis in it?
No, Bruce Willis is not in it.
Okay.
Bruce Willis is not. You can pretty much count that Bruce Willis is making movies now that are going to be showing up on your video on demand before they actually hit theaters.
Before they're even out.
I'm sorry.
Before they're even out, they go. That's how
before
fast
they're even out. They go straight. They go straight. Yeah. Actually, Bruce Willis will deliver them to your front door.
All right. So, prehistoric Alpha. What is it?
Alpha is about a kid who meets a wolf, and it's about this connection that it was like the very first connection between man and wolf, and their adventures of getting this kid back home. It's an adventure movie. It's been sitting on the shelf for about a year. I hear pretty good things about it, but it's never a good time when a movie's, sitting on the shelf for over a year.
Sounds like I'm seeing Crazy Black Klansman this week. No, that's not it. It's Black KKK.
Black Klansman.
That's the one. That's what I'll be seeing. All right, what are you angry about this week?
Well, you mentioned Bruce Willis. It's odd that you mentioned that because I'm really, really getting sick and tired of revenge movies that are, borderline racist and often very stupid. We had a remake, an unnecessary, horrible remake of Death Wish. That was unfortunately shot here and also unfortunately featured Mancow.
Are you serious? And, what was he doing?
Oh, yeah. He played Mancow. What else is he going to do?
Yeah, well, he's got a lot of range.
He does. He certainly does. Yeah. But anyway, it was shot here and it was, it's very unfortunate, to have this movie about essentially a guy whose family is killed. He goes out nuts and starts killing everybody and glorifies violence in this city. For what's happening right now.
Oh,
and now there's a Jennifer Garner movie coming out in 2 weeks called Peppermint, where her family gets killed and she goes out and kills minorities.
Why all the revenge movies? They must be making money.
I have no idea. Here's what's making money. These damn Purge movies. There's been four of these Purge movies now. And those are like just people running around getting revenge and killing people while it's legal. And I just found out there's going to be a Purge TV series.
Yeah, Homeland Security should have a list of people that go to these and watch that.
I agree, man. And I just don't get it. And look, I like violence like the next guy does. And I like a good revenge movie. But these are borderline. I mean, they're not borderline offensive. They are offensive. And these Purge movies especially are awful. And when I saw that they made a TV series coming up, I was just astonished by that. It's absolutely ridiculous.
But we live in a time where there's a show on TV called Dr. Pimple Popper. So, Zemeckis.
You know what? I didn't know that until I watched Kimmel.
Yeah.
She was on.
I didn't know
that was a thing.
No, it's not good. Zemeckis Fest continues with
Back to the Future Part 3. We've shown the first two at my film club, so we're going to show the third one. And I love the third one. I know a lot of people poo-poo it, but I really love it. And I love it because Zemeckis always wanted to make a Western, so he did. And one of the main reasons I love it is because it's actually Doc Brown's story. The third one's Doc Brown's story and his romance with Mary Steenburgen. And I really do love it.
So we're showing it on the big screen. I think all three of them are great.
Yeah, me too. And so Zemeckis Fest is coming to an end. That's $10. Parking is free. It's at the AMC Rosemont on Tuesday, September 11th. So that's coming. And by the way, I just wanted to let you know that there's a Mother Cluckers at Elston and Foster.
And have you had nacho fries from Taco Bell yet?
I have not had nacho fries from Taco Bell, but I have had the Mother Cluckers, and it's very good chicken.
Mother Cluckers.
Okay, but that's a different place.
Right. Not so. Does Cluckers say not a part of Mother Cluckers? Is that on their sign?
There's no disclaimer I'm aware of.
No, I just heard that Mary mentioned that there was Mother Cluckers.
Well, see, it's actually called Mother Cluckers Kitchen.
I'm dumping all this. None of this is getting
done. Right. Stop it.
That's not going to make the greatest hits real, I promise.
I'm not swearing.
What movie are you seeing with your parents this weekend?
We're going to see Alpha. My dad saw the trailer for it, and he goes, I want to see that movie about the dog.
Well, then you take him. That's that's Nick DiGilio, 1 to 5 a.m. every night, and joins us to try to tell us what to do when it comes to movies. We'll come back, get your headlines in just a second on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Chuck Todd is off this week. Our friend Karen Conti is here on special assignment. Let's plug your own show first. You're on Sunday night. What time?
From 7 till 9 every Sunday night.
How are you, by the way?
I'm doing really well. It's been a busy week, but a good week.
Yeah, I'm good, too. What is it about this show where nobody asks me? It's just so weird.
Because you talk for about 4 hours about how you are, so why ask?
You know what? That's a fair point.
But you never answer either. When we ask you, we say we don't have time.
Yeah, we're out of time. We're out of time. Pat Brady is here as well, and he used to be a prosecutor. You are a fine defense attorney, so I'm not looking for a debate here, but you guys can give us perspective on both sides of this thing. All right, so let's talk about Manafort. You surprised how this has gone down, and my major question for you is, do judges get to behave the way the judges behaved in this trial?
You know, the judge is keeping this really, really very short. And I think the judge has kind of gone over the line. I mean, you know, the prosecutors really should have a fair day in court to present the case. You don't want the jurors to be sitting there for 6 months at a time. On the other hand, if they have evidence to give to the jury, they should be able to do that. I think this judge crossed the line in trying to shorten the process. But my guess is there's still going to be a conviction here.
Yeah, it's the rocket docket guy. But my other question about this judge is, he was so hard on the prosecution. At one point, he literally said, "You crying? You crying? Hey, you crying? Those tears in your eyes?" And then he apologized for trying to call out a prosecutor for looking like they were upset with him. Did judges do that?
No, it's not a good thing to do, because the jury is looking to the judge to be the fair person.
Right.
The jury is looking at the prosecutor and saying, okay, this prosecutor is saying all kinds of bad things about this defendant. The defense lawyers are you know, zealously advocating for their client. So the judge is the neutral party in the room, and the judge needs to be neutral. If the judge shows favoritism to one side or the other, and I've been there, it's really devastating to your case, because you can see that the jury is believing what the judge is saying. So the judge really should have toned that down, and he apologized. I don't know if the toothpaste was out of the tube at that point, but I just don't think that's good judicial conduct.
Did you ever have a judge yell at you, Pat, when you were prosecutor?
Oh, about every day. Hi, Karen. And it was a judge
Hi.
Who would take a puff off his cigarette and say, "That's enough, young man."
You got a lot of "That's enough."
A lot of "That's enough, young man."
Yeah, okay.
But I agree with Karen, and that was my analysis of the trial. What would hurt the prosecution is the judge's behavior, because the evidence here seems pretty overwhelming.
So you got to have all of them. All you need is one juror to say no. Is this going to be an easy four-hour type deliberation, even though I think there's 18 counts they have to deliberate? What do you think, Karen?
I mean, this is a document case. This, you know, for all the ostrich jackets and python jackets and millions of dollars this guy spent and all that sexy testimony, it really boils down to the documents. Money went offshore. Taxes were not paid. Lies were made to banks. Money was obtained based on those lies. He didn't pay taxes on that money. Those are just really simple document cases. Not simple. I'm not saying they're simple, because there is a lot of documents to put into evidence. But there's not a lot of leeway here. He either lied or he didn't. And all the people around him testified against him, including Gates, who was not the best of witnesses because he had his own baggage. But he was the criminal that Manafort chose to have a business deal with. So I think there's going to be a conviction on most, if not all, counts.
I agree. It could be quick. If it goes beyond Friday, I think the prosecution's got problems, because this should be.
But if you have 18 counts, I mean, he's going to get nailed on one of them.
I think he'll get nailed on most, if not all of them. And I agree that Gates was a bad witness. But as a prosecutor, you say, hey, we don't choose our witnesses. We just follow the facts. And the prosecutor yesterday said, which is a standard argument, as Karen knows, the witnesses aren't the case. The documents are.
Yep.
And that got hit in the closing, I know, as well. We'll take this up more in the 7 o'clock hour with Eric Edelstein as well. All right, a couple of local things. Hadiya Pendleton, why two juries?
Well, this is interesting. It doesn't happen very frequently because it's very difficult to manage in the courtroom. But when two defendants are charged with the same crime and some evidence is admissible against one but not the other, then you have to have two juries. And in this case, for instance, the defendant, Ward, apparently, I think it was Ward that confessed about Williams. And he said, yes, I did it with the other guy. Well, that's admissible against the guy who said it. So if he said it to somebody else, that person can come in and testify against that defendant who confessed, but it can't be used against the person who didn't confess because you have a right to confront witnesses, and he would not be able to confront the defendant because he's not going to testify. That sounds really confusing.
Well, but here's the thing that I think, at least for the public to comprehend, including me, why not just two separate trials then? Because one... It just gets confusing, as you said.
It does get confusing because you don't know when someone is going to refer to evidence that is not admissible. So maybe closing arguments. Do you have closing arguments separately with the two different juries? I think basically it was for economical purposes. I don't know. Maybe Kat can weigh in on that. But you don't see it very often. It's very unwieldy. It's not something that's an easy thing to do. But maybe the prosecution angled for it because they thought there was some advantage to have two guys sitting there rather than one.
And maybe the defense wanted it because you might have a nice issue on appeal.
Yep, right.
Yeah, I'm sure it was litigated, though. I'm sure at some point.
And for people that don't remember, Hadiya Pendleton is the honor student who was at the Barack Obama inauguration in 2012 and was shot and killed here within, a week or two afterwards.
Hey, Karen, do you know why it took so long to get to trial?
Well, these cases do take a while, but 5 years is a long time. My understanding is that maybe a year to a year and a half ago, one of the defendant's lawyers, who was a private lawyer, wanted to withdraw, don't know why, and then a public defender took over for her. So that caused a lot of problems because that lawyer had to get up to speed on the case.
And then it all starts over again. Right.
Right.
Okay.
Not all over again, but I think the lawyer just needed a lot of time to, and maybe that private lawyer wasn't doing all the things that she should have done to get evidence, and so there had to be a little catch up there. A
couple of Laquan McDonald legal questions here. The judge is compelling Laquan McDonald's mother to testify if, in fact, she is planning on being in the courtroom. I didn't know judges could do that.
Well, if she's avoiding service and avoiding process, the judge is trying to, I'm sure, just trying to hold that out as a carrot. You want to testify about your son, then you have to come in the courtroom. Yeah, a judge can do a lot of things. If someone's not cooperating, judges have great authority to bar people from participating in the process. My question is, why would you have the mother of the victim of this murder testify about her son's troubled background when you can just bring in records and juvenile records, et cetera? And the bigger question is, why is it even relevant to why Jason Van Dyke pulled out his gun and shot him when he didn't know the kid's criminal background? But these are all questions that I'm sure will be answered at some point.
Is this going to be a jury or a bench trial? Do you know, Karen?
We don't know yet. I don't think we know yet, and I do know that the issue of trial venue won't be decided until the jury selection starts. The judge has said, I'm not going to move the trial. I'm going to try to select a jury. If it doesn't happen, that I can get people here who are without prejudice in deciding the case, then I'll move the trial, but not until then.
And the prosecutor, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Joe McMahon's the prosecutor, right, the guy from Kane County?
Yes. So the idea that, I don't know if it's going to be a bench trial or a jury trial. What would you take? I think if I were a defense lawyer, I'd take a bench.
Judge Gaughan's been around a long time and handled some big cases, as you know, and is a fair guy, but I kind of agree with you. It might be easier if you think you got a case.
Yeah, and Vaughn, if anyone wants to Google him, he's had some interesting background himself, some personal issues, and he was in the war, he was in Vietnam War, and he served our country, and he did some things, and so he might have some connection with the idea that Van Dyke also had some issues in service and maybe some post-traumatic stress, and I just think he would be probably the best judge over there if you're going to take a bench.
Yeah, I could see maybe shots 1 through 3, but 13 through 16, that's pretty tough to argue.
It is, although the police officers who I've talked to over the last year or so will say, once you start shooting, you know, you're justified in continuing to shoot. If you're going to use deadly force, it doesn't matter if it's 1, 2, or 15.
Hey, I'm sorry, one more question. You think, does the video get in then? Is it too prejudicial?
Oh, no, the video is definitely going to get in. I think it's going to be front and center. There was even talk, and I don't this would happen. I don't know that I've ever seen it in a criminal case, but they're even talking about putting it in during jury selection so that the jurors could see it and almost become desensitized to it. And, you know, asking the jurors, is this prejudicial? Do you think you could acquit somebody based upon this video?
I don't, wow. Yeah, I don't know how you pick a jury if you do that. One last question.
Right.
Laquan McDonald's mother, again, at least the topic here is in part related to her. The judge as well is supposedly blocking prosecutors from calling Laquan McDonald a victim at the Van Dyke trial. It seems like, again, overreach, or is it not?
I mean, the judge can do that. Some of those words can be very prejudicial. And I think he also barred the term code of silence. So he's kind of done it on both sides. When you use those kinds of terms to a jury over and over again, it gets ingrained in them, and it can be prejudicial. So let's just keep to the facts. Let's not call people labels. And I think that is a good thing to ensure a fair trial.
Yeah,
I once had a judge say I couldn't call the defendants.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, in federal court. Then I go, then you can't call me the government.
That's about enough, young man.
That's about enough.
That's about enough, young man. Karen,
rules.
Karen, thank you. What's the number at the office?
My number is 312-332-7800, and my very special email address is wgn@askkarenconti, K-A-R-E-N-C-O-N-T-I, .com.
Thanks for being on today. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a great one.
The text question, tell us a joke, already is crashing and burning. I, and honestly, Sandberg, I blame you for this.
Well, it's National Tell a Joke Day. I don't see why that's my fault.
269, a baby seal walks into a club. That's the entire joke.
Pat Brady's laughing at that, so it must be a good one.
Well, it's Pat Brady. I mean, that's not the judge. 847, why is Tigger sitting on top of the toilet? He was looking for poo. 630, my kid's pediatrician used to tell this to them every time they'd see him. How do you make a tissue dance? You put a little boogie in it. 309, a rancher with only 95 cows managed to get 100 into a pen. I don't get that. What am I missing there? A rancher with only 95 cows managed to get 100 into a pen. Anybody get that? I don't get that.
I don't get that.
It is. All he had to do is round them up.
Oh, that's clever. A math joke. Line. It's a math joke.
630, how do you know when an elephant has been in the refrigerator? Answer, you see its footprints in the peanut butter. See, these are the type of things that are just, you know, they're not quite up to show standards.
I got one.
Oh, let's hear it.
How do you catch a unique rabbit?
Unique up on it?
Unique up on it, exactly.
Hey, maybe I'll open with that next Friday night at Zany's.
There you go.
Get a room full of laughs.
Blackhawks fans, hockey season is just around the corner. Countdown's on. Single game tickets for the Hawks regular season go on sale Monday at 10 a.m. Regular season home opener Sunday, October 7th against the Maple Leafs. I believe Ro and I, that's Ro Khan, and I will be doing a pregame show before the pregame. A pregame on that Sunday. Will you drive by, Dave, if we do that?
When is that again?
That'd be Sunday, October 7th.
I will definitely be there.
Okay.
Yes. Thanks for asking.
Versus the Maple Leafs. Get your tickets starting Monday, 10 a.m. Right now you can still get tickets for the preseason. Go to ChicagoBlackhawks.com. Back with the news next.
Well, it's an abuse of power. It's retribution against a political opponent by the president of the United States, an autocratic president, one who encourages his followers in chants of lock her up or lock him up against political opponents. John Brennan is an American patriot. He has served America honorably, far more honorably than Donald Trump has. And what's true about this is that when you look at an administration where Omarosa or Jared Kushner or Ivanka Trump have security clearances and John Brennan does not, then you know something is askew and amiss.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
That's Mr. Schmidt, Steve Schmidt, McCain campaign chair. Was he chair, Pat, of the full campaign?
He was
in charge of the campaign?
He was campaign manager.
Campaign manager. Talking about the John Brennan thing, and we'll get to that in just a second as Eric Edelstein joins us, along with Pat Brady. Pat, what's your company's name?
Next Generation Strategies. Thank you.
What do you do there?
Lobbying, media relations, and I don't know, Eric, what else do we do?
Pastries.
Pastries.
Drink coffee, talk on the phone.
Yeah. You know, you know what I do is I walk around the loop with a file and earphones on?
We had an intern years ago who they did an exit interview with him, not me, and they said, do you have any questions about the company? He said, no, I really enjoyed my experience, but what's that one guy do in that office all day?
That one guy was you?
That was me.
Yeah.
Eric Edelstein, what's your company?
My company is AL Media.
Let me ask you, this is not a topic A today by any stretch, but the governor of New York in his speech said so profoundly
it's like
stupid.
7 in the morning.
I understand.
Me...
It's like asking a rock star to sing at this hour.
Now, you've got a relationship there, right?
We're working on the governor's campaign.
All right, but part of your job, I think this is interesting to people. Part of your job is to put out fires.
Yes.
So when someone makes a mistake and says something in a speech, maybe an ad lib, whatever, and in this case says, America was never really that great, what do you do?
Okay, now... let me say this. It may not have been the most elegant choice of words. However, ready
is this part?
I'm not helping here.
Are you unreeling the host?
No. Seriously, though, if you listen to the context of what he said,
I knew context was going to work. Yeah, perfect. Taken out of context, Steve.
His point was for a certain class and a certain race,
I totally get it.
And a certain gender,
I get it.
It's been a great country.
I get it. No one's listening to that.
We need to work on everybody else, was his point.
But do we live in a time, here's the larger question, do we live in a time where no one can ad-lib and you must stick to the teleprompter because interpretation is really down the road?
It's very tough. I mean, can you imagine if, like, you took some of the words out of the Declaration of Independence out of context and be like, what are they talking about?
You imagine if the Founding Fathers had a tape recorder going in that room. Holy mackerel. Anyway, you're going to hear about that.
Did his opponent, the Sex and the City lady, did she pounce on that? Or?
No, I haven't seen. I don't know what she's doing. So
it's got
Cynthia Nixon.
Cynthia Nixon.
When you wake up though, and that's the news,
that's
not a good day.
No, not good.
That's not a good day. Since we're on the topic, because I brought it up, the Democrats pick anybody yet to run the party? You got somebody in charge over there?
You know, the smoke rings. Not smoke rings.
the smoke out of the chimney.
I'm mixing up.
Yeah, the smoke out of the chimney.
Smoke out of the chimney is still black. I think they're waiting for the white smoke or whatever. However that works with the Pope.
Well, that'd be great. Let us know.
I will.
I'll send a
carrier pigeon over here with the message.
That'd be great.
Because we've got some fine leadership on the
Republicans side. Are just knocking it out of the park.
Well, that's not the point. The point is it's being handed to the Democrats wrapped up in a really pretty bow. Take the gift.
Is it Will Rogers, Mark Twain? I'm not a member of any organized group. I'm a Democrat.
You go. That's probably
I don't
it.
Know. Who said that? Maybe it was Pee Wee Herman. I don't know.
More with Eric and Pat in a second. We'll get to the Brennan thing. I also want to talk about the Paul Manafort trial and whether or not, I mean, do they need an Elvis impersonator in prison? Because he's got the hair for it.
Well, he's looking at 30.
Well, we'll get to it.
I have a couple questions about the Manafort thing. Do we have time now, or should we
No,
wait?
I make a note of those. We'll come back to it right after
this.
But I do want you to plug Tuskegee next. It's one of our favorite groups, and these kids are going to fill the role of being the pilots that you need tomorrow and the day after that, and they come from some of the toughest neighborhoods in the city, would otherwise never have a chance to even go near a plane, let alone learn how to fly it. So they're graduating tomorrow?
Saturday.
Yeah,
they've been there. Steve Davis, the founder, chairman of the DuPage Airport Authority, we take 9 or 10 at-risk but high-achieving kids, and they spend 10 weeks in a boot camp out at DuPage Airport, and at the end of it, they get their pilot's license. We had a huge high success rate, great kids, and there's a million new aviation jobs in the next decade, so we couldn't be prouder of these kids, and they're all just, it's fun to watch.
And one of my favorite stories, Eric, from these Tuskegee Next kids is a young lady who is absolutely fast-tracking to be a commercial pilot, who, when they first approached her, because she was a good student from a tough situation, was afraid to fly.
She was afraid of heights.
Afraid of heights.
Now she can be a commercial pilot.
How
great.
She's in engineering school now, too. Her speech was phenomenal.
Great kid. Phenomenal kid.
Wasn't it cool, though, Steve, you and I got a chance to talk to there were two of the originals there?
Yeah, the actual Tuskegee Airmen.
A living history.
How many of them are still living, Pat?
Not many. And there's a chapter here, they call it the Dodo chapter, because a dodo bird doesn't fly. Mm-hmm. And when they got out after serving in World War II, they couldn't get jobs because they were black.
Wow.
And this, the one guy, we're sitting there and there's a jet in the hangar. I go, hey, can we fire that thing up? He goes, yeah, I'd love to. I mean, these guys,
They'd be ready to go. And by the way, Pat's favorite part of the evening, which I helped MC, was when one of the two Tuskegee Airmen, original Airmen, got up to go pee immediately when I started talking.
But you did notice that when the honor guard came in, the two guys that are in their 90s
rock solid.
Stood up first,
yeah,
beat everybody standing up.
No question. Tuskegee next. Google it. All right, 720. We'll come back and talk about those topics and others in a second, and whether or not Governor Rauner's off the rails. He is on 720 WGN.
Animal crackers in my soup. Monkeys and rabbits loop-a-loop. Gosh, oh gee, but I have fun swallowing animals one by one. In every bowl.
What if there was a huge theft
lions and tigers
of ramen noodles?
I make them.
That's right, the most valuable person on the planet time. We do this every morning. And this morning's most valuable person on the planet, Sandberg, is whom?
Well, it's ramen noodles.
It's ramen noodles. So it's really, it's like when timed as a man of the year, it could actually be a something.
Yes.
Okay. From the $500 million worth of art stolen from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum to the time of Irish assassins scamming their way into stealing the crown jewels at the Tower of London, there may never have been a crime as severe as this. According to television station WAGA, a trailer parked at a gas station outside of Atlanta was hauled away filled with $100,000 of ramen noodles. Now, you like ramen noodles.
I do like
them. I mean, you're a big ramen noodles fan.
I like ramen noodles. I like to doctor them up. I first do carrots, celery, and onion, and then I throw in the ramen, and then I drop egg in there, and then we like a little cheese on top.
Sounds like quite a recipe.
Yeah, it's very delicious.
Gotta make a note of it. Sheriff Barry Babb, a local sheriff there in Georgia, says the owner of the trailer, the noodle trailer, had permission to park it there, but apparently left the keys in it. For some reason,
so.
They were able to steal it. The ramen noodle trailer. So, as a piggyback, the most valuable person on the planet tomorrow, the next day, whenever, could be the person that solves the great noodle heist.
That could be. And the thing I find interesting is the theft occurred sometime between July 25th and August 1st, which means the ramen were parked outside this gas station for a period of time.
Well, the preservatives and in the ramen, you can park it as long as you want.
People didn't notice that the truck went missing. Mm-hmm. It took a few days for people to notice. But I think the timing of this theft is interesting because kids are going back to college, and ramen is a very popular college food.
Yeah, and you know, Atlanta's a good college town. You know, you got Georgia Tech, Georgia State, Emory all there. I mean, it could be anybody there. I say we round them all up. Bring them all in for questioning.
It's like an Agatha Christie thing.
You know, it's not real.
Ramen, she wrote.
It's not real nutritious.
A ramen?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. Captain Kale hey, over
a lot
here.
Of sodium.
It's two Ks. 727. Let's talk about Paul Manafort for a second here. As the prosecutor in the room, Pat, you said if the jury has this case into the weekend, it's bad.
Yeah.
Good for Manafort. Bad
yeah,
for
Yeah, longer it's out, better for Manafort.
Do you see any way that'll happen?
No. It's rock solid. And if you listen to the arguments, at least from what I read, I didn't obviously watch the whole trial, the arguments the defense made, at least when the defense attorney came out, he said the government has not met its burden. That, to me, is usually a sign that your case is pretty weak from the defense side.
Here's my question, and this is less about law than about maybe human psychology. The guy makes $60 million from these Ukrainian
ostrich jacket money.
Despots,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, how? I mean, I know this is like stupid because we all know there's no limit to human greed and stupidity. But I mean, Pat, like,
how much is enough? Is there what you're saying?
Yeah, like, report the money, pay your taxes, and take your $40 million and live a nice life.
Don't you think the thrill for some is breaking law?
I guess.
Or arrogance.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he was in such a hole at that point he didn't have a choice because he'd lived to excess. Who
I think
really
that's what
knows?
Happened. It's particularly in the superseded indictment, they added a bunch of bank fraud charges, which dealt with him getting loans and lying to the banks on about assets and what the property was actually going to be used for. And then the the money that he put to the vendors, that was just a big tax evasion scheme.
Right. Until we know more, the apparent only tie to Trump on this is his inability to hire the best people and him hiring an absolute crook who needed the access and the thump of working for the potential president of the United States at that point so he could leverage that and try to make some of the money he needed.
Yeah, that's the superseded indictment time-wise tied him closer to the campaign than the first indictment did.
But you've made the point before, and Eric, I think you talked about this as well. He's obviously got nothing that Mueller needs because now it's at a point where he's going to go away for 30 years. And if he had made a deal, he would have done it before.
Yeah, I'm not sure how useful he is as a witness with 18 counts or felony counts conviction.
Yeah, and I'm not sure Manafort is really the key to the Mueller stuff. Obviously Flynn is much more relevant and some of these other.
But I think this is the big picture here, don't you? Because I think the Donald J. Trump is, in my words, not yours, such a fool that he has surrounded himself with users. And we, you know, it's easy for all of us to throw them all in one big bowl and say they're all in one giant conspiracy. I think there's a lot of these people who just said, I can really take advantage of this situation. No question. From the small thing like private flights to the flag flying whenever I'm in the building to my private phone booth and all the other conspiracy things and that the cabinet's done.
That's the danger of the sort of soft rot of this incompetence of this
guy. Amateur hour.
But it also speaks to, you know, people who say, well, okay, so but those things aren't, who cares that much, and if it's not some grand conspiracy. But the point is, if you had people, a guy in Trump's position who was more sophisticated, who understood what he was doing, understood the levers of government better, how much more damage could be done? So this has to be a line.
It has to matter.
But yeah. This is not anything new. And I'll go back to 1993 when I was living in Washington. I used to cut through behind the White House, and everybody's license plates were FOB, which stood for Friend of Bill. So that Manafort saying I can do this because my guy's going to be in is nothing new to politics. Trump's just taking it to a new and
Well, that's the thing, right? Because you have to have a standard, and if the standard used to be, wow, this is bad, it's way worse than, wow, this is bad now. And that's bad.
But the incompetence is high because look how it worked out for Manafort.
So. Right.
The worst thing that's happened with Trump here, I think, at the end, when this is all said and done, is his kid's going to get indicted.
I still have questions on whether or not he would make a deal to save his kid. And I don't know that he would.
What kind of deal?
I don't know. It depends on the leverage he has or doesn't have.
Well, with Trump is even in jeopardy. There's an argument that he can't be indicted anyway as a sitting president. So what does he have? What would he?
And Mitch McConnell,
you have to have some threat of something happening.
And Mitch McConnell is so without a soul at this point or any conscience whatsoever. He's literally saying the Democrats can see Brett Kavanaugh's papers after he's seated. He doesn't even care about any rules or standards.
But you know, back to the. But if this is a political thing, which will end up being, if they get the House back, the Democrats, they can impeach him. But they're not going to pick up 17 seats to convict him.
Did you guys see the piece a week or two ago when Trump tweeted again, basically acknowledging obstruction of justice and attempt to collude, the piece that compared the famous Nixon tape and what Nixon said compared to what Trump's tweeted?
Yeah, you could basically do a word find thing where you just substitute the other name in.
But it's like 10x. Mm-hmm. The things that Trump's admitted to.
Oh, yeah.
I've had more people scream at me for saying this, but I said it the day it happened. To me, the obstruction case is a slam dunk.
Yeah.
But... Are you going to indict a sitting president? Or even
that's why it makes my head explode and every good way. Collusion. Collusion's not the discussion. It's obstruction and conspiracy.
And a continual obstruction. Every time he sends out one of those, and there's a timeline somewhere in somebody's office with everything he says and does and whether or not he has the requisite intent, the corrupt intent, to obstruct justice. And I think each of these fits into that puzzle.
And one as recent as last night when he sat down with the Wall Street Journal after the Brennan move and told the Wall Street Journal that Brennan and all the others have to go because they're all involved in this trumped up conspiracy, this witch hunt. In other words, the criminal investigation into my administration must be stopped and I have the power to do it.
Right.
It's absolute obstruction.
Right. And you have Nixon on the famous tape when it became public. He said, I know my presidency's over. All he said to Haldeman was, you know, don't have them do anything illegal.
Right.
He just kind of grunted and winked and nodded. And he knew at that moment that it was over. You got Trump admitting in public and sending out messages saying, I tried to obstruct justice,
right.
Basically.
Right.
And that's been the lead charge in both the impeachment cases, has been obstruction.
So the question, Steve, is in the battle for the Pulitzer, is it going to be Omarosa or is it going to be, what's the guy, Mike, what's the guy's name? The weird
Wolf.
Guy? A wolf.
Michael Wolf, yeah.
Who's the front runner?
I have a dream, and I don't ask for much, that Omarosa and Donald Trump will end up on the same deserted island together with no hope of rescue.
But look at the week he had. Omarosa trashing John McCain and this discussion about the Manafort stuff. That was this week.
Well, the Brennan move.
The Brennan move.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what did we get done this week for the country?
Well, he got about 70, 80 tweets out since Sunday.
Yeah.
So he's got that going for him. More in a moment. And I want to ask you about the end of the Republican Party and, the inability for the Democrats to recognize it. It's 7:34. Also, Governor Rauner, what's going on there? And Mike Madigan, not appearing on the show again, all coming up. But first, what's happening in just a moment? Right, we got a break. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. La, la, la,
la, Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein are here. And, it's too much stuff to talk about, not enough time as always. Pat, let me throw this at you first. The reason that guys like Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan say nothing is because they believe, and they are historically right, that only the far right will show up to vote in the midterm, and the far right are the ones that won't take any negative comments about Donald Trump, so why should they blow up their constituency? Point being, if a lot of people turn out, they're in trouble. So is the electorate energized enough to show up, or are they just bitching?
Seems like the Democrats are. In the special elections, in like 10 or 15 of them, they've had the Democrats had pretty big turnout. And what we saw Tuesday night, and I think the last of the Republican primaries, to me anyway, a disturbing development up in Minnesota. Tim Pawlenty, a friend of mine, a two-term governor up there.
Good guy.
Great guy. Sam's Club Republican.
And he was completely qualified. Did it before, ought to be doing it again.
But he was a guy that had a message of economic opportunity for everyone. He's a union member, but he pitched it in a different way than Trump did. It's not a divisive hate message. It was like, we need to do better. And Trump came in for his opponent, Governor Pawlenty.
And he got thumped
by 10 points. And this guy now, our nominee as a Republican, is going to lose. And we saw that in Kansas, too. It happened. So we kind of have the same disease here in Illinois. There's groups of people that think that we need to be litmus test Republicans. And that doesn't work everywhere. And it's not a way to grow a party or win elections.
How dangerous is it, Eric Edelstein, to count on low turnout?
Oh, that's a terrible strategy. I mean, we can't count on that. I mean, things can change in a snap. We know that. But, you know, what you have to do is look at all these data points, and the data points are grim for Republicans right now. We can't be, you know, spiking the ball on the five-yard line, as they say. And, you know, I still think Democrats got to do a better job of getting a positive message out, not just running against Trump and against this dysfunction. But, you know, there's a glide path here that is not looking good for Republicans in the fall. And it's, you know, if you look at some of the objective measures that you would look at going into a midterm, it shouldn't be this bad for them. But that's just a function of how bad this president is.
And back to you, Pat, on this. If, in fact, it's a home run that the Democrats are going to win the House, and we assume the Republicans will hold the Senate, you will have absolute gridlock. You will have the House in continual investigations. And by the way, legitimate investigations of corruption and other things, and nothing will get done. So what is the benefit of Mitch McConnell in particular, but Paul Ryan as well, doing this protectionist thing to try and hold a House that they're going to lose and to be in this chamber?
I'm not sure if I agree on the House yet. Talk to me in a month. Right now, the people I talked to this week say it's 50-50, only because we drew the maps in 2010, so we've got a little bit of an advantage. We're not going to lose the Senate. They're not going to. The way that the number of Democratic seats that are up in states that Trump won is not going to happen. The House is in play. But to answer your question, and I said it last week, I don't necessarily criticize Speaker Ryan for being the Speaker and not going after the President every day. I'm more disappointed in some of the people that are running these committees that are running them, and they're not running them like they should be run. They have a legitimate oversight function that's important to the security of this nation. And they're not doing their jobs, and that is disturbing.
That to me is the most long-term disturbing thing for our country and democracy, is that where are, you know, the Sam Irvins and the folks that are going to be nonpartisan or bipartisan.
Scoop Jacksons.
And say, this is wrong, regardless of party. And, you know, the only ones that have done it on the Republican side are ones who are not running for re-election. And that's a sad statement.
And, you know, that's where I get confused. That's where I get stuck. You're saving your job for what?
Right. Right. For a paycheck? For health care? I mean, what are you doing?
Right. Because your job is going to be absolutely meaningless, and right. you won't get anything done, and your legacy is going to be that you were the guy that just caved.
And I can't imagine that, you know, if you were a fly on the wall in these private conversations with these Republicans, they just must rip him up and down, have no respect for him, say he's mm-hmm. done all these things wrong. And I just, to be so afraid of your own political survival, I mean, I know that's human nature and it's sort of the basis of how people run and hold office, but it's troubling.
Well, I think, too, it's not just survival politically. I think that there are some legitimate good people in Congress on the Republican side
there is,
that see that, sure. you know what, maybe this is a way for us to get a lot of things done. And despite what the Democrats may say, there has been a pretty productive Congress for Republicans on the agenda. A lot of agenda items that Republicans, conservatives, agree with are getting done. And I think it's been beneficial to the country. That being said, it is these committees that don't do what they're supposed to do is troubling.
Right. And the problem I have at most of it, I don't want Democrats to take over control and then move to impeach this president. I mean, I want the evidence to have some objective basis. And what I would have liked better was with Republican control to have an honest process and say he should or he shouldn't. But I think the notion of impeachment becoming totally partisan, I know it was to some extent in the Clinton situation, but I think that's just a terrible trend for the country.
Yeah, and how'd that work out for us?
Yeah,
He walked out with 58% approval rating.
Right.
I know you've said this weeks ago that for the Democrats to be talking that way, it's
terrible.
That could kill their chances of taking the hospital. Nobody wants impeachment.
Well, I do. Yeah, you and know, I'd like it to be clean,
okay,
and I'd like it to be over tomorrow.
So we've lived through the one, and you remember Andrew Johnson's, I'm sure, but the and Nick,
Eric's not that old.
So we've lived through two of them, and it was what happened to the economy in the 70s. It was terrible. And what happened after Clinton? We ignored Osama bin Laden.
Okay, this president is beyond dangerous, like nothing we've ever seen. And when we have guys like Jim Jordan and the guys that drive you crazy protecting them to keep them in office, it's not going to help if we end up in a war and we look back and go, boy, we should have done more.
You know what for Trump is the upside of fighting with the intelligence community, which is a permanent
zero.
Apparatus. You're going to lose. I mean, no president wins that battle.
All right, give me a couple minutes on Brennan. Is it a big deal? I mean, Trump wasn't calling Brennan to say, hey, could you take a look at these papers anyway? Is it a big deal that he took his clearance?
I don't think... I think it's a big deal because it goes against tradition and the way we've done it, and we lose his knowledge as a director and a long-term guy in the intelligence community to help this country to make sure we're safe. So to that extent, I do. But does it hurt Trump politically? No. You know what? He'll come out ahead on this because the people that support him believe he's sticking it to the man, and that's what they want.
I mean, I think it's petty, it's petulant, it goes against precedent, but that's what this president does. And
so it's, you know, just another day.
The inside part of this is it's how we have, I mean, I'm not an expert in this, but it's how we have a robust and living security and intelligence apparatus, regardless of administrations, is these guys keep their clearance. And yes, they're able to monetize it to some extent in the private sector, and then they come back through government. But in some ways, that's something you want,
right?
Because you want a robust
Absolutely.
Group of experienced intelligence officers.
Regardless of party.
And this is a way to, in Trump's pea brain, to keep Brennan from making a living, basically.
And the main reason he wants Brennan, he wants all the other people that have criticized him, is the same reason Nixon had an enemies list.
Yeah. Now, I was downstairs at the security desk, and they were talking about Brady's security clearance in this building.
Hey, I was on a watch list for a while. That's
getting
not
revoked.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is neither one of you could get up, so it's bipartisan security.
Hey, but just to follow up point, you know, Brennan did, on the treason tweet, he brought a little bit on himself. That he has the absolute right to say what he wants, but when you got security clearance like that, you got, I think, when he says treason, not that I'm defending anything Trump did here, but he maybe stepped over the line a little bit with the treason comment.
Yeah. We'll see what happens between now and 5 when this is no longer news, too. Got to talk about Rauner when we come back.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Is Whitney Cummings on with us later? Comedian Whitney Cummings later. Dean in a few minutes. Craig Melvin from MSNBC. All still come. Eric Edelstein and Pat Brady are here. We only got a couple of minutes left. But, Pat, what's going on with Governor Rauner? He's made a couple of statements this week that don't help.
You know, it's tough being in his spot. He's been taking shots for the last 3.5 years, but I think he's stayed the course on the reforms he wants to get done. And it's going to come down in November. The alternatives are, you want to vote for a guy that wants to actually change how the state is run, or do you want to vote for a tax increase and vote for J.B. Pritzker? So I think that's where it's at.
And J.B. Pritzker is running commercials that say the governor's more interested in slamming me than talking about the problems of the state, which is different from the commercials he was running, which are about, here's what I think I'll do. Is that going to be the focus of the campaign now?
Well, I'm not directly involved, but I think when you have an incumbent governor in the middle of August flailing against everyone, the mayor of Chicago, McCann, Pritzker, I mean, that's not a good strategy. I mean, he's got to find a message. He's got to find a lane. And the problem is he's got a terrible record, you know, sort of driven the state into the ground. And if you don't have a record to run on, you lash out. And I think that's what we're seeing with the governor. It was good to see him off the milk cartons and at the state fair, though, because I know that people were looking for him to see where he was.
But I must have missed the part where Pritzker spent $100,000 for the farm kids. Where was his money?
I don't know. What are you looking at? You're just picking on me today.
I'm not picking on you. I like you. The kids keep sending in jokes. Did you hear Godzilla stopped eating hotels? Says he's trying to cut down on sweets. This is why this was a bad idea. I told you.
It's National Tell a Joke Day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What did the sushi say to the bumblebee? Wasabi!
Maybe this, it's the delivery.
Has higher standards. Well, I'm new.
That could be. Maybe
you know I'm new.
You had Zanies this week?
That's next week. I'm going to open with all of these.
I think maybe Dave should start delivering these jokes that the listeners
yeah,
are sending in.
Yeah, it could be.
I wouldn't sell you Zanies last year. Your you jokes were good. Both thanks. You guys were good. It was
yeah,
fun. Thanks.
Yeah. Mike Toomey's really funny, too.
Yeah, that's a good Friday. Show.
Any plugs before you guys go? You want to plug anything? Eric, what are you doing today?
Drinking coffee, going to talk on the phone, do some conference calls. But I am.
Can somebody come by and watch you do that?
I do have some exciting potential news. I'm taking my daughter to get her driver's license today. So everyone on the roads in Chicago, be nice.
Wow. Yeah. It's a big day.
And Eric said he was thinking after she gets her license that she could drop him off at work and then she can drive home, and now he's changed his mind.
Like, I don't know.
It's not a great idea.
It sounded great last night.
That's not a great idea. You were tired last night. And you've got a big weekend with your kids.
Yep. Three of the four will be gone. Maeve's at IU. Kelly's at San Diego State. And I take Patrick to NYU. His first year's in D.C., so I take him Friday.
Well, your daughters know how much I like them, and hopefully Patrick does as well. What a cool thing for Patrick.
Yeah, they're good kids, and so it'll be just me and Grace, and I gave her the south side of the house. I'm taking the north. I go, I'll meet you for breakfast, and that's about it, buddy.
She put the tape line down
yeah,
the middle.
Yeah, she said she was, I'll never see you again, Dad. But it is weird. The house is empty.
Yeah, so aren't you going to, like, hover over her now and make sure she's okay?
She's the most well-adjusted because she's the least parented.
He's a great dad. He just kids, and I'm not kidding about that.
No, they're all great kids. Thank you. I'm proud of all of them.
As you should be. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you doing this, as always. We need one more break here, and then we'll come back with the news on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey.
By brand new smile dental implant center, it's Moron Entertainment. My friend Dean Richards, how are you,
Steve? Happy 60th Madonna's birthday.
I
big celebration all day today.
I last interviewed her 25 years ago.
What was that like? I've never talked with her.
I talked to her a couple times back in the old disc jockey days.
Yeah, man.
And I found her to be delightful and odd, and I think she still is.
Was she like a virgin, touched for the very first time?
And not at that point.
Was she into the groove?
She was trying to teach me that Vogue move where you frame your face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, 60 years old and dressing like she's 25.
I think she's toned it down a little bit now.
Has she?
Hasn't she? I haven't seen her for a while.
I'd like to see a full tour where she just dresses like Granny from the Beverly Hillbillies.
With the metal brassiere.
With that being the only exception. Sambra, you're a perfect age to be a Madonna fan.
Oh, yeah. We loved Madonna.
But girls growing up your age, weren't you guys all about Madonna? Wasn't Madonna the thing?
Yeah, we loved her. Yes, like a virgin, scared my dad.
You didn't dress up like her, though.
You know, but we kind of did. Halloween punk rocker was kind of a cool costume, yeah. Which is similar. You know, teased hair. We'd sprayed hot pink. You'd wear a short skirt. But singing Like a Virgin in the car, my dad always found it very disturbing. Yeah.
His two girls singing at the top of their lungs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
See, I loved Like a Prayer. That was my favorite song.
Yeah. Papa Don't Preach. I used to always try to scare my parents into that I was going to get pregnant with that one just for the scandal of it. So
I just heard her song Material Girl the other day. I still like that song.
Yeah,
it's got a good beat.
And then she's got, look,
the video.
No one's ever going to accuse her of being a great vocalist, but she's one of the great rock stars of all time.
Right.
I love that. What was the movie she did? Searching for Susan or
Desperately
Seeking Susan. Seeking Susan. Yeah. I loved that movie. We watched it a lot.
Well, that was the look, right? That all the girls copied.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My little nieces at that time were dressing up in like the Madonna lace.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to describe that look, but the early Madonna look is, you know, I've got two little nieces who are probably like 7 years old that dressing like that.
You're going, yeah, those are my girls.
Yep.
Those are my girls. So happy birthday, Madonna, 60 years old. Aerosmith, Brad Pitt, Matt Lauer, Kelsey Grammer, Travis Scott, the rapper, and you want to buy Elvis's trailer? All of that coming up. Stand by for it.
We'll be calling his name. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9.
It is 8:23. It's Moron Entertainment, sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. Dean, who's your producer these days on television?
I have several people.
On Team Dean?
Assisting and helping on Team Dean.
Mm-hmm. The reason I ask is because, I don't know about you, but I tend to be a little forgetful. And Sandberg literally has reminded me 6 times about something in the last 45 seconds, and I still cannot guarantee I'll remember.
Yeah. See, here it's different. I have to remind the producers of things.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. That's not good. Elvis is, you can buy Elvis's trailer. Did you know this? His mobile home?
I didn't know he had a mobile home.
Yeah, Elvis and, was it Priscilla? Let me get the story up here. Elvis and Priscilla's mobile home is hitting the auction block.
Hmm.
And you, being the real estate maven that you are, I figured maybe you were doing the listing.
No, I don't do mobile homes.
It was a 60-foot Delta, or it is a 60-foot Delta mobile home, once stationed on Elvis's Circle G Ranch near Graceland.
Oh.
And it's going to be on auction, or at, what is it, on auction, at auction, I guess is the terminology. And you can see pictures online.
That sounds like a honey on wheels.
Yes, it does.
I think it would be up for auction.
Up for auction? Is that the terminology?
That's what I would say.
Okay. And you can get it. They have pictures online of the paneling and all the other stuff. But there's no minimum price here. So I don't know what the bidding's going to start at.
Is it real 70s looking inside?
Yeah. 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 What you said.
That's a good look.
Now, what do you have from Elvis?
Well, you know, today is the anniversary of the death of Elvis Presley. Hard to believe, because I remember exactly where I was when I heard this news that Elvis had passed away August 16th, 1977.
I remember where I was.
Let's listen to a couple of little news reports here.
Elvis Presley died here about 3:30 this afternoon. He had been found in his bathroom, unconscious, not breathing.
Graceland Mansion, the place that Elvis Presley built for his late mother, was a scene of some chaos this afternoon as the crowd was allowed inside for one last look at Elvis Presley's body lying in state.
I just love him. I just love his generosity, his talent, everything about him. He has a heart of gold.
On a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto.
There's one thing that she don't need, it's another hungry mouth to feed.
That's Robin and Larry's tribute to Elvis that they recorded this morning.
They are big fans. They're both at Graceland this morning.
Actually, that's one of my favorite Elvis. I'm not a big Elvis guy, but that's one of my favorite Elvis songs. And Kentucky Rain is one of my favorite Elvis songs.
That particular version was from 11 years ago when Lisa Marie, daughter of Elvis, did one of those...
Oh, one of those dead duets.
Singing with her dead father duets.
Yeah.
Which, it's actually kind of beautiful. I mean, she nice. Looks exactly like him. And there's a soulful quality to her singing that is very moving. But I was looking at some old Elvis concert footage. Some of it is kind of comical. The early Elvis footage is absolutely amazing. when he first hit in the late 50s, before my time, but that is pure rock and roll.
If you watch the Elvis, if you watch the Decades Channel, I'm almost positive that this is correct. Decades Channel is where they do the Ed Sullivan reruns.
Yeah, they show Elvis clips
and Elvis clips all the time. And what's better than Ed Sullivan standing next to Elvis? Come on!
I hope the Grammys add a category called Best Dead Duet.
Oh, that'd be good. That would be solid.
I like that.
There's plenty of material on that, too.
Be nice.
A couple of music stories before we get to the thing I'm going to forget. The rapper Travis Scott is in the news.
He just had a number one album. It's called Alpha
Numeric.
Alpha Numeric. It's called Astro. Actually, it's not called Alpha anything. That's a movie that's opening tomorrow. It's called Astro World. Mm-hmm. And to celebrate the success of his number one album, he decided to give away $100,000.
Wow.
He is sending money to people who tweet in lyrics from his new album. I guess there's an app.
Why, because he can't remember them?
He's getting people to listen to his album.
Yeah, be interactive.
Presumably purchase the album, sure. I suppose. Tweet some lyrics, and then they tweet them to him. And so far he's sent out $100,000 to people.
Well, that's generous and a good promotion.
Yeah. Steve does that. We'll be doing that next week. Also.
I do it with bits.
Yeah.
Say, if you can call in and say, tell me what stupid thing I said last hour, and all the texts, they come flooding in. Aerosmith in Vegas.
They announced a Las Vegas residency, because that's what all the artists do now when they still like to perform but don't like the traveling. They're going to be in Vegas next April through the end of July at the New Park MGM Hotel there.
That's when they're scheduled to break up again?
That's when they're able to get their ramps up and everything for the band.
So they can figure out a way. The handles in the shower. I got it.
Because they're old.
We'll come back, talk about Brad Pitt, Matt Lauer, and Kelsey Grammer right after I take this brief break to say Sandberg's coming to your kids' festival.
I heard about that.
So, Dean, Patrick, my stepson, and I are going to be shadowing you all morning. I don't know if anyone told you.
Well, that's going to be a load of fun for you guys.
I was wondering if you're going to be in the dunk tank.
I will not be in the dunk tank, no.
You've done it in the past.
I have done it. I have in the past, and I feel like I have senior status now.
You don't have to.
The younger members of the morning show should be doing that. I don't even know, actually, if we have a dunk tank.
It's listed on your website.
Okay.
Awesome. I also want to know if you're going to be doing any DJ karaoke with AZ Entertainment.
I do some things with the band. I have actually not gotten the rundown of exactly what I will be doing. Normally, I talk to the people giving free immunizations. I talk to puppet people if there's boa constrictors, if there are any gross creatures or animals or snakes or anything like that. They put me with those. Hey, then it's dangerous and might send me to the hospital.
But like most days at Channel 9, there is a portion of the day Dean devotes to looking at people and going, I'm not doing that. That's part of the day.
That's every day.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So Sandberg will be there live reporting tomorrow. And what sort of fun will Patrick be able to have?
There's a Smarty Pants, the balloon artist, is going to be there.
Sure.
Medieval Times and the Poetry Foundation. Santa's Village Amusement Park is going to be there.
Oh, the amusement.
Yeah, Skinny Pop Popcorn.
Well, so there's a lot going on.
See, what they do, what we're doing tomorrow, it's a back-to-school kids' fair.
Yeah.
And we have tents set up all over outside of WGN-TV at 2501 West Bradley Place, and we give away school supplies. We give away stuff. There are free immunizations for kids going back to school.
And the sales department, I hope, takes some of these sponsors to the cleaners when they sell them these tents, right?
Oh, I'm sure that there's no money transacted whatsoever.
No.
I'm sure this is strictly out of the generosity of our
heart. Yes, of course.
I'm sure that's what it is.
Matt Lauer is divorced?
Yeah, to the tune of $20 million. Got a settlement yesterday.
$20 million seems light.
He agreed to the settlement with his soon-to-be ex-wife, Annette. They say that they are amicably divorcing now after $20 million and will focus on their three kids. Seems like you should have been focusing on the kids first. But
sounds like she let him off easy.
Money is money. Does that seem cheap to you?
Yeah, I thought he was worth 50 plus. I guess New York's not a you get half state, though, is it?
I'm not sure about that. 20 million seemed like a lot to me.
Well, he's making more than that a year.
Well, it's probably 20 million and then some properties and things like that. Like, I'm sure there's extra stuff built in.
Well, he's got a place in New Zealand, and the New Zealand government apparently is kicking him out and not allowing. This is a true story. New Zealand is apparently politically voted to not allow any sales of property to foreigners. It doesn't seem like it's a great idea for their economy.
Just build a wall like every other country does?
Yes, that's what we're doing, and the Mexicans are paying for the New Zealand wall as well, which is weird because it really doesn't affect them.
Steve, also in marital news, Kelsey Grammer has revealed that he has a tattoo of his wife's name in his crotch area.
His crotchal region?
In his crotchal region. It has been put there.
Which wife?
His current wife.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he's got his current wife because apparently there was some infidelity that went on in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that this tattoo is sort of an ownership idea to keep him from cheating in the future by having the tattoo down there.
Being 65 won't take care of that problem.
I'm pretty sure a tattoo is not going to stop anything either.
Yeah, exactly. I like Kelsey Grammer. He's a good dude. But he is a very troubled background, familial background, bizarre circumstances in his life, and readily admits he's been messed up for a good portion of his life.
That, all of that very true, but I will give him credit if the tattoo story is true. I'm not even trying to think how painful that must have been.
Oh, my God. Please. And money doesn't make you smarter. Brad Pitt.
Just gotten more visitation. There was an issue, Angelina Jolie accusing him of not providing proper child support for his children. He disputed that and actually issued the amount of money that he's been providing for his children, which is far in excess of the informal agreement that he and Angelina Jolie have. But yesterday, a judge gave him more visitation. On school days, non-school days. I mean, they're going through the whole thing the way anybody would with these kinds of things. But the judge agreed that he was not getting enough visitation with his children.
Yeah, and if any of this is true, you know, factually, of the reports that are out there, she's out of her mind. You talk about, you know, we want people not to put their kids in the middle of this. Good God. Those two, with the money they have, their kids should not even be mentioned. It should have been done the minute they split up.
Absolutely insane, too. These two, well, it does sound like she's doing it more than him, but I'm sure that both sides are somewhat to blame. Using their kids like chess pieces
here in
this divorce is shameful.
Someone
should get a tattoo as a result of that.
You know, while we were talking, I got a tattoo of Dave's name on my right big toe.
Glad you said big toe.
Yeah, because you didn't know where that was going.
Thanks. I feel honored.
Yeah, you should. All right, so here's the deal. Tomorrow, you're live at, what are you guys calling this this deal?
It's the Back to School Kids Fair.
The Back to School
Starts
Kids Fair.
6 a.m., 2501
17th West annual.
Bradley Place.
Yeah.
17th annual.
And Dean's been there for everyone. And
it's tons of people. I think it's going to be kind of hot and humid tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
Is that what I heard?
And young Patrick Boyle will be there with his caretaker.
And it's my understanding he's going to be doing a Instagram takeover for WGN Radio.
Oh,
so
is
he'll
he?
Be
oh, very nice.
Our WGN Instagram story will be from the perspective of an 11-year-old.
Yeah, and I have a contest every year that I hold during this. Guess how much Purell I use during the course of the broadcast and won a fabulous prize.
I'm a little disturbed. You guys keep showing footage of it, and you can't even move. There's so many people.
It's pretty crowded.
And Dean's favorite are the Chuck E. Cheese balls that he has to jump in with the kids with a cold. All right, I'll see you later.
Yep.
8:35, headlines next, 720 WG. Forty-six now, and sponsored by Wolf's Flea Market. Our friend Greg Flam is here, and you're at Wolf's Flea Market every week.
Yep, every Saturday and Sunday.
What time?
8 to 4 p.m. at Palatine, and then they also have the outdoor one at Rosemont.
When was the last time you had a weekend? Is that what the winter's for?
Winter's is Palatine's busy season, of course. But, you just take a day here and there, you know.
Justin is off today to sober up from his birthday dinner last night. So let's jump right in with a phone call here.
Awesome.
Greg. Ken's in Plainfield. Ken, what do you have that you're trying to get evaluation on?
Well, 30 years ago, Kellogg ran a Tony on Tour promotion.
Tony the Tiger.
Tony the Tiger stopped in 28 cities and gave away a total of 2,400 Hoppy bicycles. And I have one of them.
Wow. You've got a Tony the Tiger bike?
I got a Tony the Tiger bike.
Sweet. When was the last time you rode it?
I never did. It's a little, it's for children.
But it's mint condition, huh?
24, I'm sorry?
Is it a mint condition?
It's in mint condition. Our kids were all grown up at the time, so the grandchildren rode it up maybe 5 or 10, 20 times. I mean, it's hardly used.
All right, so what do we got, Greg?
That's awesome. There's one on eBay right now for $117. So
$117?
That's what they're asking.
There's only $2,400
on it. I know, and that's why I think he could probably, you know, beat that price, especially if it's in mint condition like he claims.
I think we start at $100,000.
Hey, you always come down. You
right,
know,
exactly.
You can't come up.
Exactly. Well, I can. I certainly hope it's more than that. And if it's not, don't sell it. 312-981-7200 is the number. Texters or phone calls for Greg. And what'd you bring us this week?
I brought in a 1984 Bahamas tourism poster. We had someone call last week with a travel and tourism poster. And I thought get a kick out of
golf
this.
Golf course on the ocean, man.
Yeah, and it's not noted. And I did some research. I'm thinking it's Ocean Club in Bahamas. And
there's not a lot of golf courses there.
Yeah, and the view of this is just incredible.
Yeah, not bad.
So obviously they use that.
I like the font of Bahamas. It looks that time.
Right, it really does. 1984. It even looks earlier as far as the font. And the other thing I brought in, everyone's got a story of S&H green stamps of what they bought with them. So
now we have to explain what that is to Sandberg.
Okay, yeah. So you would buy items at certain stores. You would collect these stamps, fill these books.
Dave and I did this.
So many books, then you would have these idea books, and then you would order from the idea books. Now, I'm 53. I'm not ashamed to admit that. And I don't recall ordering from the book, but I remember my parents, like, you know, sticking the stamps in the books and going over the catalogs and ordering from them.
Do you know the there were stores, like S&H Green Stamp stores, where you can go in and pick stuff up?
I do recall hearing about that, yes. And then they had the big building off of, 290 there that looked like it was balancing on ball bearings.
Dave, what did you get? I don't remember. I mean, I remember going. I remember my tongue drying out from licking all the stamps. Right. But I don't remember getting. I know I did, but I don't remember what I got.
We had something. We had Top Value stamps. They were
same
yellow
thing.
Stamps. It was same thing.
Okay.
And there was a store, a redemption center, where you would go. But I remember my mom let me collect the stamps, and I used them for a ping pong table.
There you go.
So, like, how long do you save that?
Why'd you look at me that way?
It depends what you wanted. You could be saving for years for something. Most people that I talked to got camping gear of some kind or sporting goods gear.
Yeah.
Looking at a...
Like a ping pong game.
I'm looking at a picture of a kitchen scene where a daughter looks very happy to have the mop. Look how happy she is. Like, this is their song.
You're saying that's sexist from the 70s?
Yes, this would be a sexist.
Wow. Mary, did you ever do it?
I just remember licking the books all the time, but I don't think I ever got anything.
Well, that's because of all those kids in your house.
Yeah. We never... Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't remember getting anything either, but I remember licking the books and going
too.
To the store. I wonder if my dad just got stuff.
One item featured here is a two-piece tank cover set, standard size. It's a plush pile, pink, yellow, or blue for the on top of your toilet and then your toilet seat cover.
Oh, that's
for
hot.
People that have the want to cover
what
their
a good look that is. We'll come back and talk to some folks on the phone at 312-981-7200. You can also text in if you're looking for something at the S&H Green Stamp Store in Westmont. 630 texter says, got my first fishing pole.
Safe for sporting goods, yep.
Yeah. And that's kind of what it was.
Bet it was a Zebco.
Yeah, I bet it was with the Zebco reel.
Yep.
Oh, those are great.
Yep.
Stamp. Oh, by the way, what's that Bahamas poster worth?
About $200.
Come on.
No, I'm not kidding. So I was happy to find this. I think I paid a dollar or two for it. So,
what do you have right now that you should sell but you won't?
You know, nothing these days. I really am unattached to everything. About 3 years ago, I just became unattached to everything, and everything's got a price.
What's the last thing you sold that hurt?
Oh, probably some rock memorabilia that I had signed or something from... I'm a big U2 fan, so I have a lot of stuff from Bono and The Edge, and that probably hurt the most.
And you're gone, but you're even done with those guys.
And I still have some picks and stuff like that I'm keeping, but I've sold some other signed rock gear.
Okay. You can get the Zebco Spin Cast Reel for $2.50 is what it cost you.
$2.50. Such a deal.
Got them right
here. Doable.
Such a deal. 815 texter says, green stamps, I got a card table and four folding chairs.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's got a story.
815, a 1910 Ithaca Cherrywood grandfather clock.
Mm.
I assume that was made in Ithaca.
Yeah.
New York, yeah. Mm-hmm. 224, I remember getting an awesome dollhouse from Green Stamps. Loved it. Redemption Center was Route 14 in Palatine at the time. And we'll see what other texts come in. And we got, let's see, Betty and Jan and Sue and Russ all standing by to talk to Greg. And if people want to follow you, Greg, what do they do?
DuPage Picker on Facebook, Twitter, Gmail, pretty much any of the platforms.
Or show up this weekend the Wolf Flea Market location. Wolf's Flea Market, where is it?
1775 North Rand Road in Palatine.
All right, more with Greg Flamm in a moment. Greg Flamm's here, and as we said, you're at Wolf's every weekend, and boy, a lot of response today.
Yep.
Justin would normally be here asking you for free stuff, but he's got the morning off after his birthday yesterday. Wellbots, Harling Irving Plaza, Green Stamps Redemption Center, third floor. They also had bowling for Green Stamps at a bowling alley or
wow.
two. 847, my mother got pots and pans and a dish set. Thanks from a memory of my mom. By the way, pots and pans are necessary. She burned everything. And somebody who worked at a Green Stamp store said there were 2,400 stamps in every book. No wonder my tongue was tired.
Yeah.
That's a lot of licking.
Yeah, and as far as what, if people are asking what the stamps are worth, not much. I mean, one book is maybe only $4 for the book, but the catalogs are worth more, like $15 per catalog.
Is that right?
Yeah, so that's what you want to look for.
Sandberg doesn't want to give hers back.
Nah.
Betty is in Villa Park. Good morning, Betty.
Good morning.
You got a dollhouse or furniture for the dollhouse?
Well, the furniture from it, and I believe it's probably from the 1920s because of to whom it belonged. Anyway, they are Arcade, A-R-C-A-D-E, and I think they're steel furnishings. Sure. And some of them say Freeport, Illinois on them, some of them don't, but I have like a house full of them.
Wow. I mean, some of that stuff is in the thousands, to be honest, especially if you have a whole... kit or the the house with hundreds of different furniture pieces.
Nice.
The larger stuff,
it's like the Walter E. Smith dollhouse.
Right,
that's tremendous.
The dollhouse, we don't know what happened to that, but I definitely have many rooms of the furnishings.
Yeah.
Betty, you're loaded.
If I could figure out what to do with them.
Yeah,
how
do you move it?
Yeah, you have to. I would take the time or have a family member price the different individual larger pieces, because some of those could be hundreds of dollars just for one piece.
Well, how do you price them? Where do you do it?
You go to online, eBay, or WorthPoint is probably a better site because they hold data for more than 6 months. eBay,
nice.
Up to 3 to 6 months.
WorthPoint?
Yeah, and it's a paid service, but it might be worth the $10 or $20.
All right, Betty, send me a commission.
Indeed. Yeah, I did find out one sofa was on eBay for $900.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. Look at you. Wow. Fantastic.
Good luck with all that.
Okay.
All right, hold the line 1 second. Before we get a couple more calls, Steve, what's happening?
We've got this just into the WGN newsroom. A publicist for Aretha Franklin says the Queen of Soul has died this morning at her home in Detroit. Again, Aretha Franklin has died in Detroit. We believe the cause of death is going to be cancer, but this story is just developing. We'll have more coming up from WGN.
Well, it's very sad and not unexpected based on the news of the week. Nobody like her. An original. Mm-hmm. And there won't be anybody to follow. It will remind you of how great Aretha was, because she was one of a kind. More on that as the day rolls on. Jan is in Lyle. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning. Very sad to hear about Aretha.
Yes, it is.
My prayers go to her and her family. I had in front of me a signed program from 2000, from a function they had at Benedictine University, an afternoon with George and Barbara Bush, and it is signed by both of them.
Nice. Did you get a chance to talk to the First Lady?
I actually did. I was on the staff then working this function for catering, and it was just so pleasant. She was wonderful.
She was amazing. She was the best.
Yes, she was.
He was great, too, by the way. All right, Jan, let's get your price. How much?
A signature George Bush, $50 to $100. Obviously, it's something priceless to you as far as the memory and the experience.
Yeah, I'd keep it.
So, yeah.
$50, I'd keep it. Let's see. Sue is in Riverside. What do you have, Sue?
I have a folded megaphone, cardboard megaphone. It's a caricature of a Sox batter with white socks on, no shoes. And it says Chicago White Sox. On the back it says Go Go Sox, and it has a place for autographs. It has a little handle.
How old is it? Any idea?
I do not know. It was a friend of mine that was having a house sale, and we were allowed to take a bunch of things and offer a price for everything we took.
Shoeless Joe Jackson's megaphone. What's it worth?
If it was Shoeless Joe Jackson, yeah, that's a higher one. But I'm guessing it's probably 1950s, and there are no signatures I'm taking on that.
Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, probably $35 to $50 to start an auction.
I got to run through a couple of these quickly. Yep. Tom and Aurora's got a signed Bobby Hull jersey.
Probably 100 to 200 to start.
Okay. Russ and Oakbrook, an Erector set that's at least 65 years old?
I've had bad luck with Erector sets, so it could be very low, like $30.
Why is that? Yeah, too many of them out there?
I'm assuming. And plus, they had so many little pieces that very few of them are complete.
Vincent Desplaines, an original E.T. poster. I don't know if that means from the release of the movie or got
if
it from
the
E.T.
movie poster.
Maybe got it from E.T. directly.
Right. I'd say start at $100 if it's the original movie poster.
I love this one. Alan Lake Bluff. He's got a matchbook cover that says, vote for Jim Thompson. Remember Big Jim, Governor Jim. Matchbook cover, vote for Jim. Jim might buy that.
Right. I'd take a $10 to start. I sold a Mayor Daley one for $20. So
there you go.
I got an Erectus. My mom bought my cousin Brian an Erector set for his birthday, and then we didn't see him for 5.5 months. That box set wrapped in our house. And finally, I talked her into letting me open it, and so then I got it because we didn't.
Did you sell it?
No, I played with it. It was great.
Where is it now?
Oh, it doesn't. We're purgers. Yep. We don't keep, so it's gone now. But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Dave, do you have any of the toys from your childhood, or do you just have The Rock?
I kept The Rock.
Yeah.
I do have, the stuffed dinosaur.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
From the actual dinosaur era.
From the dinosaur era, yes.
Nice. Last thing, could I bring my Tony the Tiger bike, this is the caller we had, to Wolf Flea Market to sell it? Do they do that kind of thing?
Yeah, there's at Peloton, there's like 100 vendors. Maybe someone will buy it from you or make an offer. Or I can sell for you. I do consignment selling for people.
So look you up.
Yep. And I'm Roque.
And I ask you this every week, but how am I doing on my 1,000 Beanie Babies?
Keep holding on to them. They're coming back. I have a feeling someone's going to invent an augmented reality game where you're going to need the Beanie Baby. That's my hope.
That's the only
for
hope?
The people that are holding them.
Yeah, I got 1,000, maybe more.
Yep.
All right. We'll come back, get to the news in a second. Greg Flamm. And Wolf's Flea Market. Greg, follow you again where?
DuPage Picker, Facebook, Twitter, Gmail, any online platforms.
All right. Oh, one more. I got to do this. My husband has a filled-out scorecard from Kenny Holtzman's no-hitter in 1969.
Wow. That's a good one. Yeah. That could be hundreds and definitely start an auction with that. It only takes two to get a bidding war going.
Nice. All right, Greg. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
You know where Greg's going right now, Dave?
Where's
he's going to run out and buy a dollhouse furniture from that lady.
Garage sailing right
that's
after
it,
this.
Right, that's it. News next, 720 WGN and hi to CLTV.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
About a little Aretha. A lot of people started singing in church. Nobody like Aretha. Several texters making the point. The Queen of Soul and the King both now share the same death date. Wow. Elvis died on this day as well.
Wow.
Kind of freaky, huh?
A little bit, yeah. You know, one of my favorite stories of Aretha is one that I didn't know about, but I guess it was 1998. Just about 2 hours before the Grammys were to go on television, Luciano Pavarotti got sick. And Aretha was there on stage, filled in for him, singing an opera song.
How about that?
I mean, it was just it brings chills every time I see it.
How about that? So she didn't even have all the rehearsal time or anything.
2 hours.
Was it in a different language?
Some of it was, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
She was something else, man. Something else. Again, you said this, Steve, and I missed it. Was it pancreatic cancer?
Pancreatic cancer. Spokesperson for Aretha Franklin says she died about an hour ago, apparently at her home in Detroit. She had been in hospice care, surrounded by family and friends.
her appearance had changed dramatically in the last few years, and she had taken off a lot of weight, and partly because she was so sick. So she fought it for a while. That is going to be some kind of goodbye party, I can promise you that, because everybody had respect for Aretha Franklin and her talent. So a lot of folks came through to say goodbye in the last few days, and the tributes have already begun. So we'll continue our own, at least by playing you some music before 10. We'll see what Bill and Wendy and John and Roe do the rest of the day. Sandberg could not be more pleased with herself with her text question of the day, which again was what?
Well, it's National Tell a Joke Day, so we welcomed listeners to send us their jokes because I started the show off with my classic joke from when I was in kindergarten. What did the Pink Panther say when he stepped on an ant? And Joe has the punchline.
And that punchline is, Joe?
Dead ant. Dead ant. Mm-hmm.
Still funny to you, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I killed with that joke.
I just got stopped in the hallway by our chief engineer, Bill Murdoch, who ought to be electrocuting himself instead of telling me childhood jokes, but some joke from when he was five. Why is the quarter smarter than the penny? Because the quarter has more sense. You know, this show has comedy standards that you're violating.
I just saw Bill, and I can't believe he didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
I needed a chuckle.
Do you have a go-to joke, Dave?
No.
630 texter.
Man, I thought of the Ole and Lena joke, so. Remember? Orion used to tell
him. Oh, of course. Orion's got 1,000.
And then recently when I cleaned out my mom's stuff, I found all my dad's joke books, Ole and Lena.
No kidding. that's kind of nice, huh?
It's so cool. We gave them the grandkids who like to tell jokes.
Yeah, that's sweet. That's nice. 630 texter, which country has the world's fastest growing capital city?
I don't know.
It's Ireland because every day it's Dublin. By the way, my best to my sister, her husband Ian, and also Nina and Claire. They're headed for Ireland tonight.
They're going to see our boss.
I don't know if they'll run into each other. It's a bigger country, do you think?
Isn't Patty there, too?
Yeah, everybody.
Is she in Ireland or England?
Patty Vasca? I think she's in England. That's where one of her posts was.
630, have you heard about corduroy pillows? They're making headlines.
I like that.
Dave really liked that one.
Yeah. Exactly.
Got a real smile over there.
708, how do you know when a cow tells a funny joke?
He milked it.
Milk shoots out of his nose.
Oh.
He milked it. It's not bad, though.
Yeah, thanks.
Look at Mary should be in your writer's room for your comedy shows.
You must think the writer's room is different than it actually is. 773, why can't you play cards in the jungle? Because there's too many cheetahs. Some of the newsroom. The newsroom is dying.
That's the way you
Sam
should.
Sam Jones really likes that one.
You have to give every punchline like that.
Right?
Because there's too many cheetahs.
Too many cheetahs. A15, did you hear about the guy that got fired from the orange juice factory?
No, what happened?
Dude got canned.
Oh, I thought it had something to do with concentrate.
Yeah, he couldn't concentrate.
Oh.
Couldn't concentrate.
Couldn't concentrate because there was too many cheetahs. Yeah, 815, did you hear about the fire at the circus?
No.
Oh, it was intense.
Oh.
224, what does Beethoven think of modern music? No one knows. He's never heard it.
Oh.
That's quite deep. It's quite deep, yes. Yes. And 224, why was the mushroom invited to the party?
Why was the mushroom?
Because he was a fun guy.
Those were funnier because you liked them.
Because I sold
them.
Yeah, I sold them.
You're a professional. See, you're able to really sell those punchlines.
Yeah, that's me. 708, what do you call cheese? It's not your cheese.
My cheese.
Nacho cheese.
Nacho cheese. Like nacho
These
cheese
are like
fries.
Jokes with attitude.
Nacho cheetahs.
224. 224. Why do ducks have feathers?
Why?
Cover their butt quack. That actually is funny. I got to say, that is
or
funny.
Or buckhorn.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. Let's see. We'll get a few of these later. They're coming in like crazy now. On what is it? International Telejoke Day?
National Telejoke Day.
Okay,
should have Nick Scan on.
Oh yeah, with all the crap and swirling around in his joke brain.
Yeah.
921. Stand by. An actual comedian in just a moment. Whitney Cummings, who is appearing on a brand new special. I want to tell you about. Come up next. 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Change.
It doesn't get any better than this. Remembering Aretha. Whitney Cummings on the phone. I'm going to ask her to dance. Actually, the best. The best. Whitney Cummings at the Improv this weekend, and she had, oh, she'd become a TV mogul. Whitney, you want to dance with me to a little Aretha before we do this? Whoa.
Great woman.
Oh, we got a terrible phone line. Hold on a second. I don't know what happened there. Terrible, terrible phone line. So let me do the plug while you guys try to figure that out. Whitney Cummings, comedian, writer, actress. Of course, she had her own show, Whitney. And she was a co-writer and co-creator of Two Broke Girls, an executive producer of the ABC Return of Roseanne. She got a book out called I'm Fine and Other Lies. It's available wherever books are sold. And she's also directing a film that's available for streaming right now. It's called The Female Brain. WhitneyCummings.com is the website. And again, she's at the Improv this weekend, two shows tonight. Or I should say two shows tomorrow night, two shows Saturday night. WhitneyCummings.com. Friday night showtime, 7:30, 9:30. Saturday showtime, 7 and 9:15. $33, Dave. It's a bargain.
Very much so.
Yeah. Pick any of those four shows for $33. Or go to two for 66.
You can do that. Yes.
Nobody's getting by me.
No.
I got it all figured out. So we're reconnecting here with Whitney Cummings. And I believe we are good to go now. I just did the greatest plug for you, and you didn't hear a word of it.
You know what? That's probably better. You don't want it to go to my head.
All right. Tell me about the movie before we plug the shows again this weekend. What's The Female Brain?
I made a movie about basically based on Female Brain. I was talking about it in two stand-up specials ago.
Yep.
And audiences really like it. And that there's scientific proof that there's some things about men and women that are slightly different, some things that are exactly the same. And there was a lot of comedy in that. So I don't know if you know Neil Brennan, great comedian who co-created The Chappelle Show. We decided to make a funny neurology movie. Cecily Strong from Saturday Night Live is in it. Sofia Vergara is in it. Blake Griffin is an incredible comedic actor. And we kind of wanted an excuse to just, you know, make a really fun movie about, you know, sex and relationships that where you actually kind of learn something, you know?
How much fun was it making that? So that's a lot of people you could hang with.
It was not fun at all.
What?
It was really challenging. Making a movie is impossible, but I think I'm spoiled because I'm a stand-up comedian. And I'm used to just being able to make jokes at comedy clubs all day. Having to get up at 6 a.m. was a nightmare.
Yeah, and then you got to work all day as opposed to a couple of hours, right? I mean, that's not fair.
And it's also stand-up is, you get in the instant, you know, you're at a comedy club, you tell a joke, people laugh or they don't.
Yep.
A movie, you have to wait like a year to find out if people laugh.
What about this TV mogul thing you got going now, too? I mean, you know, regardless of what happened to the Roseanne show, you got Two Broke Girls, you got Roseanne. I'm sure you got other things on lined up as well.
Well, you know, the Roseanne thing didn't really end as planned.
Right.
I think I'm going to take a break from doing other people's shows for a while because you never know what they're going to tweet and just kind of ruin everything. You never know if they're going to be, you know, secretly racist.
It's a bad morning. You wake up and you go, what happened?
I had worked for a year. I took time off from doing stand-up. I pushed my Netflix special and, you know, when it first came out, it was like 25 million people watched it. They loved it. And it was like, you know, okay, I think I can do more television. And then, of course, that happens. But I guess we can blame Ambien.
Apparently, you know, I got to go with Bill Maher on this. I sort of lost touch with Roseanne, but she and Tom and I spent a fair amount of time together back in the 90s. And I knew those guys from the early 90s in Minneapolis. Well, when they first went to L.A., they used to call me on the radio in Minneapolis to settle their fights that they were still having at 5 o'clock in the morning.
What?
Which was a great bit on the air, by the way, but not so good in their lives. But
yeah, that's amazing. And probably part of the reason they didn't work out. You can't call other people to settle your fights.
Nah, you got to take care of that yourself. Come on. But I love you, and you're fantastic. And if you don't go see Whitney at the Improv this weekend, I can't help you.
Here's what I'll say.
I'm very proud to advertise that for the hour that I'm doing stand-up at the Improv this weekend, I'm not talking about politics once. If for no other reason to come to the show, it's a way to get away from politics, away from Twitter, away from for an hour. I think right now it's like everywhere you go, it's, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, the news, it's all politics. And I think it's everyone, you know, deserves a break of being able to laugh for an hour without talking about politics. I'm running my new Netflix special, which I'm taping in a couple months.
Cool.
So I always come to the Schaumburg Improv because you guys tell the truth. If you think something's funny, you laugh. If you don't think it's funny, you don't.
That's a great room.
Yeah, it's a great room. Sorry that it's out in the suburbs, but
oh, please, it's easy. Schaumburg, go to Schaumburg. It's a piece of cake.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I don't think I've been there for maybe 5 years or something, and I won't be back in Chicago for a while. And it's all new material. A lot of people want to know that, and I will be signing books after the show.
Wow.
And selling books and all that.
Excellent, yeah. Excellent. Well, I appreciate
peddling my wares.
I appreciate you getting up and doing this, and I couldn't be a bigger supporter. WhitneyCummings.com, by the way, for everything she's doing. And
thank you so much for having me.
See you this weekend. Thanks. 7:30 and 9:30 tonight, and 7 and 9:15 tomorrow. WhitneyCummings.com. And she's very funny. We had a terrible phone line there. And, you know, here's the problem. You run into that moment where I look at Sandberg, she looks at me, we both look at Joe, and then we look at each other and we go, well, we're going to hang with this, see if it works, because we already bailed on it once.
Right. You just got to ride it out.
Yeah. So hopefully you heard most of that, because she is really funny.
And I think it may have been going in and out. She's not talking about politics this weekend.
Yeah, because it sounded dirty.
It did, yeah. So it was like we bleeped her, but she's not talking about politics.
No Politics Island. That's the safe zone you're going to have tonight and tomorrow night. Or I should say Friday and Saturday. I got the weekend done. 7:30 and 9:30 tomorrow night, 7 and 9:15 on Saturday. WhinnieCummings.com and the Improv website as well for the Chicago Improv. On CLTV and 720 WGN, we're back in a moment with the headlines.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I got me a man named Dr. Feelgood.
Those Missing Aretha Already blues.
And taking care of business is really this man's game.
Aretha Franklin, you can't say gone too soon, because I didn't age to be too soon, but she was 76.
And after one visit to Dr. Feelgood,
been fighting cancer for a while.
You
and died with family surrounding her this morning. Tributes blowing up all over, as you would guess, and will continue for some time to come. And expect a good going away party. I would guess there's a TV special in the works right now. Speaking of live shows and things, aren't you going to see Tracy Morgan?
We are. September 14th or 15th, that Friday in September.
Yeah, Friday, September 14th. Yeah. Have you ever seen Tracy live?
We have not. We haven't. But Pat loves him.
Pat Boyle's a big Tracy Morgan fan?
He loves Tracy Morgan.
That's interesting, because Pat's very white.
Yes, yes.
And Tracy is not.
No, he's not. But somehow they
But Pat's a big rap and hip-hop guy, isn't he?
He is. He has the musical taste of a 14-year-old girl.
Right. So he's sneaky urban.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. But
I can say that as a black entertainer.
That's right. He doesn't have the moves, though.
You've seen he dances
him.
Like
you,
a white
you
guy?
You saw him doing the...
I did see him dance, yeah.
Whatever that was, the Kiki, yeah. Do You Love Me video.
Kind of a dad dance.
Yeah, it's very much so.
But the reason I bring that up is because I was looking at the lineup at the Genesee Theater in Waukegan. Did you not play the Genesee Theater? We only did two shows there, I think, but it's a great theater.
It's beautiful. I love that downtown Waukegan area. They've done such a nice job with that theater, renovating it, or restoring it, I guess is the word to use.
So when you said you were going to see Tracy Morgan, I decided to bother Colleen Rogalski, who joins us now. Colleen!
Hello, good morning.
Thanks for coming on, I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, thanks for having me.
On Thursday, the night before the big Tracy Morgan show, one of the funniest people anywhere, Colin Mochrie, and Brad Sherwood, who's very funny as well, is going to be they're going to be doing the Who's Line thing on something called the Scared Scriptless Tour.
Funny little play on words. Yeah, they're hilarious when they're here, and they do this big theatrical performance involving a bunch of mousetraps as well. And similar to Whose Line, it's a lot of audience participation and suggestion as well. So it's really, really a good time.
And potential pain.
Wayne, not for the audience.
Wayne Brady coming in on Sunday, September 16th. Clint Black later on.
Oh, I love Clint Black.
You got a great lineup.
Thank you. Yeah, we worked pretty hard on it, so we're really excited about this season.
I should probably come back and do a show there, don't you think?
Absolutely. We'd love to have you.
Hmm. Maybe I could do the Bee Gees Gold Show.
I saw Bob Newhart there.
That one, tickets are actually going really fast. We've got a lot of great tributes coming this fall, including Bee Gees, like you mentioned. And we have I Am King, the Michael Jackson Experience, coming on Friday, the 21st of September. And we also have the Roy Orbison Hologram Tour coming in October. So that's going to be really
cool. That's wild, because it is literally a hologram of Roy who does a show.
It is, and we've never had that technology here, so we're really excited to see how it all translates on our stage.
Did you have to do a lot to get to be able to have that, Colleen? Like, not everyone has a hologram system.
Right. I mean, you'd be surprised what some of these tours are able to carry themselves, and I mean, the technology has just come such a long way. So I was actually pretty surprised that we were capable of having that kind of technology. I thought we'd need a much more up-to-date system and maybe fly in a couple of things. But no, the tour is carrying everything themselves for what we need. So we're going to make it happen.
You know what, Steve? That gives us hope for someday when you pass away.
When I die, is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes. They could do a hologram Steve Cochran.
Oh.
You could still do stand-up.
And what if I'm just sitting here as a hologram?
You could do a hologram radio show. Yeah, I think that's that way the Stephen Cochran show never
what
goes
away. What a cool
away.
Thought. Me dead. The Amazing Jonathan's coming in, too, on Friday, October 5th, I think.
And on the 5th.
You and I were talking about Kevin Matthews out the air. Kevin and Jonathan were pals, and I did stand up with those guys, and I was the one not doing magic, because Kevin did... Kevin did some magic as well, and it was violent, dangerous magic. Anyway, it's a great lineup at the Genesee Theater. Tell people what your website is.
www.genesseetheater.com, and we are doing new on-sales every week, so if you want to be added to our pre-sale list, you can add yourself at www.genesseetheater.com/signup.
Super Joe says he's going to come see Modest Mouse. Is that right?
Yeah, next month.
Oh, my gosh. Get the tickets soon, or I might buy all of them myself.
Are you an EDM guy? How would I not know this about you?
Modest Mouse isn't exactly EDM.
Well, what would you call Modest Mouse?
Indie rock.
Alternative, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, alternative indie.
You know, Super Joe's a big Dave Matthews guy, so
okay.
That all falls into the same genre.
Angry 31-year-old. Yes, I get it. By the way, for you old people, Dave...
You didn't have to say that.
October 11th, Little River Band in Ambrosia. Ambrosia, one of the great songs of the 70s, How Much I Feel. How's your life been going on? Got a wife now for years. We've been going strong. You want me to do the whole thing?
Yes.
And the Little River Band. So I don't know what Ambrosia is going to do after How Much I Feel. Maybe they do that over and over again. But the Little River Band's got a bunch of hits. So anyway, nice lineup.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling. Thanks. It's Genesee Theater, Genesee Theater, spelled the fancy way, T-R-E, GenesseeTheater.com. We'll take a quick break, come back, and Bill and Wendy on the way.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Ooh, your kisses.
I was wondering why Sesame Street never did this, because it's a good spelling song.
I was always surprised Rodney Dangerfield didn't use that as his theme song.
Right? It should be his walk-on music.
Makes sense.
I have jokes for both of you from National Joke Day coming up, but first. What do you love most about shaving with Harry's, Bill?
Well, I feel...
Keeps your legs nice and clean, huh?
Yeah, my legs are nicer and cleaner than ever, so that's one of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. New customers can save big on a Harry's shave set with Cochran. Use the promo code Cochran when you check out. Normally it costs you $8 for a starter set.
Yeah.
$3.
that's a lot less.
$5 off. Yeah. $3. Dave, what can you get in this world for $3? Nothing.
Nothing.
Not a smack in the head or a kick in the crotch. Nope. Nothing.
Nope.
Auto refills. Kick in the crotch. Currently going for $4.50.
$4.50
yeah,
now?
That's exactly right. Auto refills are an option. You can go to Target. You can go to Walmart, a la carte, online, in stores, but for a limited time only. Harry's has a special offer. New customers get $5 off a shave set with the promo code Cochran at Harry's.com.
Steve, I'm online. There's a Groupon for kicking the crotch, $4.25. That's the lowest I can find it.
That is, Steve, that's what I'm talking about. It's almost impossible to get it for less. You get the foaming shave gel, the travel cover, the weighted handle, and the five-blade razor. Use promo code Cochran at Harry's.com today. Use Cochran at checkout. Claim that offer. Harry's.com. Back with Bill and Wendy next.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
All right, so National Joke Day. By the way, along with bringing National Joke Day in, and as a fellow professional, you know how I feel about jokes.
Yeah.
National Joke Day was Sandberg's idea, and I have to admit, we got probably a 1,000 texts.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I can't take credit for National Joke Day. It was my idea for us to discuss it on our show.
Yes.
Good call.
Worked out quite well.
Steve was reluctant all day long until he's been attacked by staff members with their jokes.
I walk down the hall. I get people going, hey, tell this one.
Yeah.
anyway, here's a few more. Where'd the dog go after he lost its tail?
Home.
The retail store. What did the egg send to the principal's office? I don't want to do that. Why did the egg send to the principal's office? Why did the egg have to go to the principal's office? Because he quacked too much.
That doesn't make sense.
No, he cracked too many yolks. I'm sorry, I combined a duck joke with it.
I thought his brain was scrambled.
Well, that's better.
Mary
actually.
Should be
that's
writing every better. One of these jokes.
Yeah, because she's immature enough.
She's good.
What's the difference between a shiny nickel and a dirty penny? 4 cents. 6-year-old niece, what do you call an alligator in a vest? I like this. What do you call an alligator in a vest? An investigator.
That's a crack. See what I mean? She's amazing. Miss Rimshot over there.
Why can't melons get married?
They can't elope.
They can't elope.
Dave.
Knew that one.
Yep.
Dave for the win.
Yep.
Dave for the win on that.
Where does the Lone Ranger take his trash?
Philadelphia.
To the dump, to the dump, to the dump, dump, dump.
Actually, it's Philadelphia.
It is Philadelphia.
Oh, he knows it.
Yeah.
Well, he's a comedian. I don't think that...
I said it.
Oh, wait, right.
I know my voice is low, but...
Why did a dog jump in a lake? Didn't want to be a hot dog. Why don't cannibals eat clowns? Why don't cannibals eat clowns?
They taste funny.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
It's not funny. It's true.
Yeah, it's true. It's absolutely true. Right. Here's one of my more favorites. What do you call a singing computer? Adele.
Fleetwood Mac.
Adele. I like that one.
And then my favorite of the morning. Why do ducks have feathers? To cover their butt quack.
That's your favorite?
That's top shelf for me. Too many cheaters.
I know. The delivery's key.
What are you guys doing today? I can't imagine it's better than that.
Greg Kot will be on to talk about the career of Aretha Franklin.
Okay.
That happens later on. And then also, you watch Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Love right? it.
All right.
Great.
So last Sunday, they did a story about a doctor whose testimony changed the course of history. He later admitted he made everything up. Sam Rose, a writer for the Tribune, who cracked that story. So he'll be on the
talk. Cool.
And he was featured on Last Week Tonight, the other night.
That's
Sunday
great.
Night. Yeah.
And also, if you have time, maybe you could pick up on Sandberg, who's already got me dead doing a hologram show from here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, all right.
Just a thought. See you tomorrow.